Good morning, everybody, and I'm so glad you're here and we can join together. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Romans chapter 16, Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 20, Romans 16, 17 through 20. You know, because God's word is always applicable, always powerful, and the Holy Spirit has inspired it, and he continues to hover over it. It's kind of uncanny to me how each week when we meet, the Word of God speaks to our circumstances, and that is no exception this morning. I want us to talk for a few minutes about sustained obedience. And I remember the great English preacher Spurgeon said in one of his sermons so long ago, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." And I've always remembered that because to continue and not grow weary in well-doing sometimes is quite a challenge. And I think particularly it's a challenge in days like these when we could really sum up our lives lately with two words. The first would be COVID, and the second, with the events of this week, would be chaos. Okay? COVID and chaos. But the good news, as you know, I'm not telling y'all anything. The good news is that the Lord is in control. And if I could add another C to that situation, I would give you the word conquest. Because in Romans chapter 16, we read about how the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. So let me read Romans 16, 17 through 20. "I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them, for such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Now, by way of background and context, let me mention a couple of things that will help us wrap our minds around this text even more effectively. If you look back to chapter 15, verses 8 through 21, remember we were in the first seven verses last week, okay? But if you look back to verses 8 through 21, you see that Paul is writing about Jesus Christ as the hope for both Jews and Gentiles. Jew and Gentile. And then in the last part of chapter 15, Paul's plan to go to Rome. You see it there, verses 22 through 33. Now, I don't want to read into this text today anything that's not there, but there are some pertinent applications. The bottom line, y'all, is the only hope for red, yellow, black, and white, for rioters, for protesters, for you and me, the only hope is Jesus Christ. And that's one reason this text speaks so powerfully to all of us today. Then look at chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, all right? Paul gives us some personal greetings. And then if you skip on past our text, the one I just read, right? If you look on past there, you see a doxology, and we've talked about this before, how good theology always leads to doxology. And that's exactly where Paul ends in chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. So that's our background. Now let me sum up what this text is dealing with in a single sentence. Okay, here it is. Avoiding Satan's deception and anticipating his doom, you and I are to persevere in obedience to the glory of God. Whether it's good times, bad times, in between, every day you and I have a challenge before us, a decision, right? Who am I going to please? Who do I want to honor? Myself, someone else, the Lord? And I want you to see how Paul is coming to the end of this letter in view of all that God has done in Christ, in view of all those things, how Christ is the only hope. We are to persevere in obedience. Okay, quickly, let's look at verses 17 and 18. And the first principle you want to see here is that we are, you are, I am, we're to reject false teaching. Look at it. I appeal to you. Paul is using that language. It's like he's coming alongside of them, right? And he is putting an arm around them and saying, let me urge you, let me encourage you to watch out. And I love the word there because it literally comes from a word that gives us the English foundation of the word scope. I want you to scope out. I want you to scope out. He's calling for vigilance. Okay? For those who cause division, those who cause literally dichotomies, and those who create obstacles, create scandals contrary to the teaching or the doctrine that you have been taught. So here is this exhortation, watch out. And it has to do with false teachers. Now, in this particular context, it has to do with false teachers who attempt to infiltrate the church. Okay, and in this situation, Paul is concerned about maintaining doctrinal purity. A good reminder for us, because today it's quite common for people to say, oh, let's not divide about theology and doctrine. Let's just love everybody. And with the events of this past week, I just want to say, frankly, how's that working out for us? I'd say it's not working out very well. I think it's important for people to know the truth, and for God's people particularly to have a grip on the truth, right? And so Paul is saying, don't be misled by false teachers. Now look at the methodology and the motivation of these false teachers. What do? They cause divisions and they create scandals. And then notice, the text says they don't serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites, literally their own bellies. Paul will use this same language in Philippians chapter 3. He's referring to complete self-interest, complete sensuality, complete self-pleasure. That they're not serving the Lord Christ, they're serving themselves. That's their motivation. That's the motivation of a false teacher. That's the motivation of all people outside the transforming work of Jesus Christ. Now look at the command that Paul gives. He says, I want you to watch out. And then he says, look at it. Avoid them. Literally, keep on turning away from them. Well, you may be thinking, wait a minute. Just a chapter ago, Paul is telling me that we are to love one another and we're to receive one another, the stronger being sensitive to the weaker. And that is absolutely true. But what you need to see here in this text is that Paul is not forbidding contact with a false teacher. The idea of keep turning away here is basically through my words and through my actions, I say to this person, look, you are twisting the truth. You are distorting God's truth. And our relationship cannot be the same so long as this is occurring. I'm going to have to turn away. We pray for that person. We want to encourage that person to get back on the right track. But we understand and call division and scandal what it is. And would you notice with me what Paul is concerned about here is false teaching that can affect and undermine the body. Well, people will say, well, I thought we're just supposed to love everybody. Yes, we are. But would you notice with me here, Paul is willing to risk, quote unquote, peace when the truth is at stake. And that's exactly what's going on here. A contradiction of apostolic teaching. And would you look at the reference in the text? The smooth talk, literally kind speech, flattery. It gives us our English word eulogy. I remember a mentor saying to me a long time ago, Matthew, always remember liberals are really, really nice people. They're just so friendly and they're just so kind. But in terms of what they believe and where they will take you, it's a very dangerous thing. Keep turning away. Look at verse 19 quickly. Continue in obedience. Continue in obedience. I remember one of my favorite African-American preachers a long time ago preaching about Pharaoh and Moses during the middle of the Exodus. And one of the things he said always stuck with me. He said, Pharaoh had the title, but Moses had the testimony. I think that's great. Now, we want to be people who have the testimony like the Roman church. Look at that verse, verse 19. Paul says, your obedience is known, and it causes me rejoicing because you are hearing and receiving the word of God. And then look at what Paul says. I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil. Literally, I want you to be unsophisticated with reference to evil. I don't want you to even be a beginner in evil. And I want you to be an expert in the good. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Man, do we need that right now? We want to be experts in the good, not even beginners in evil. And so in this context, Paul is concerned about those who would mislead people, false teachers, those who have deliberately departed from the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Amid all the things going on this week, you may have seen in news reports the story of a pretty well-known Christian singer who supposedly has departed from the faith. I thought it was fascinating because there were people responding and saying, oh, you know, we just love this guy and we're going to pray for him, which I think is wonderful. The problem is some were celebrating it. You know, well, everybody's got to do their own thing. And, oh, we appreciate his boldness. I think we should pray. But the concern here is that when people depart from the faith, that ought to break our hearts. And of course we pray, but it's a reminder that in every generation, there are those who are well-taught seemingly and then walk away from it. There are those who think they are well-taught and walk away from it. It is a reminder to us to cling tenaciously to the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And what Paul is after here is exactly what I need and what you need in these days. And what you need and what I need is discernment. Discernment. And that discernment only comes as my mind and my life are saturated with the Word of God. Okay, so I reject false teaching. I continue in obedience. Last thing, verse 20, look at it. Anticipate Satan's doom. Would you notice with me, isn't it fascinating that you have the God of peace mentioned in a phrase where Satan is being crushed? What is up with that? Well, it's a reminder to us that God will not appease Satan and his minions. It is only through his ultimate destruction that a lasting peace is obtained. And God isn't halfway about anything that he does. And look at what the text says. And God will crush soon. Do you see the text? He will soon crush Satan under your feet. Well, literally the word there means in a short time. And I think about the Second Peter text, a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years is a day. And scoffers like to say, where is the promise of his coming? But we've got to understand, according to God's clock, that there's no pause button between Christ's ascension and his return. God's in charge of that. And in that context, a day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is as a day. There's another thing I want to point out to you here. Did you know that this is the first time, aside from a couple of indirect references, but this is the first explicit reference to Satan in the whole book of Romans? Now, I think that tells us something. Number one, we don't want to deny Satan's existence. We know he is a potent enemy. But he cannot and will not thwart God's ultimate purpose, his plan and purpose of salvation and redemption of Jew and Gentile and people from every tongue and tribe and nation. And so here we get to the end of Paul's letter, and what assurance. What assurance. And that ought to encourage us, you know. I want to be wise, an expert in what is good, not even a beginner in what is evil. And because I know the Lord can return at any time, here's what I need to be asking myself in every situation as I seek to be discerning. Does it agree with Scripture? Does it glorify Jesus? Does it promote Christ-likeness? Those are three things right there. That's essentially what Paul is saying to these people. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So I detect the strategy of Satan to deceive, using human instrumentality, whomever he wants to. But I remember that in God's time, Satan's doom is sure. Now, and I look at that phrase, crush Satan under his feet. Remember Genesis 3:15? That's a powerful thing. The seed of the woman would crush the head of Satan, deliver a decisive blow. And of course, that's ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. God crushes Satan. That is our assurance, and that is our hope. Well, I think about Psalm 34:18, which certainly has application for a lot of us right now. You remember what that verse says? It says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. So how does God save those that are crushed in spirit ultimately? I'll tell you what he does. He crushes Satan under their feet. There may be COVID, there may be chaos, but in Christ, there is conquest. So let's make some application. I think one key application for all of us here today is I should not avoid doctrine or treat it as lightweight. I should avoid at all costs distortion and twisting of the truth. To apply the truth, it always helps to know the truth. Secondly, another thing Spurgeon said, he said, fidelity to God before fraternity with men. A great reminder. If we compromise the truth of Scripture for the sake of fellowship, we'll soon find fellowship has been completely gutted of its meaning and reality. Now, that's a reminder to us that we should treasure true truth, as Francis Schaeffer put it so aptly in his works, In How Shall We Then Live? There is objective reality. And that's one of our problems as a culture today. Truth is whatever anybody wants to say. But the Word of God indicates there's objective reality, God's truth. And attendant to that, remember to adjust your clock to God's clock and rejoice in God's conquest through Jesus. And we talked about that in past weeks, right? Adjust your clock to God's clock, rejoice in his ultimate conquest. And then what a fitting, I thought about this. I had this planned out earlier this week, and in light of everything that's going on, What a fitting reminder. One of the verses of Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. Listen to these words. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. What a great reminder. Jesus, the name that calms our fears and bids our sorrows cease. His music in the sinner's ear, and life and health and peace. So in the midst of COVID, in the midst of chaos, continue on the path of obedience to the glory of God, anticipating the final and ultimate conquest through King Jesus. That is the hope and encouragement that you and I need more than we need anything else. So let's claim it and take it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Sunburst class. Father, we thank you that the God of peace will soon crush Satan under our feet. And we claim and anticipate that victory. Until then, Father, keep our eyes riveted on King Jesus, that we might grow in obedience, that we might persevere day by day. Father, that we might be experts in what is good, and that we might be wise and innocent of evil, all for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, the peace that only he can give, and the peace that passes all understanding. Love you, Sunburst class. Y'all have a great rest of the day.